this week is the beginning of Shmos, of Shovavim. And the minig to learn some inyanim of Taras and Mishpacha, and Mikvos, and things like that. So I would like to say some halachas regarding those things. It's just funny that just this morning I got a phone call. I'm out of town. And one of my talmidim is the rav of the community, and a woman called that she wants to go to the mikveh tonight. So what should be wrong? The thing is that this woman is not shomer shabbos. She's not shomer shabbos. So she. But she keeps Taras HaMishpacha, which is interesting. You know, you have people like that. You have people who do very scrupulous on one area of halacha, but in another area of halacha, they're not. So the question was, what to do in such a case? Should the mikveh people let her, because she's going to come, then she's going to drive back home. I mean, or even getting there, she would probably be at the shkia already. So what should we do? So this is, and we don't want to turn her off by not, you know, because she sees that they're not welcoming me in the mikveh. Maybe she'll stop going to the mikveh. So that was the question. So off the cuff, I thought like this. We know that the women go to the mikveh on the seventh day, after the seventh day. Not on the seventh day, but Motzoi said, after the seven Zayinikim, or over that night. That's when they go to the mikveh. There is an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says that she can go during the day, and the Chacham Tzvi says that means on day seven. So, in a situation where it's going to be very difficult to go at night. I always give the following example. The example I always give is an individual who they call me up the week before Pesach that the wife's mikveh night is the night of the Pesach Seder. Now that's the most inconvenient night of the whole year to have to go to the mikveh because the whole family is there. And what is she going to say? She's going to say, I'll have to excuse myself, I have to go someplace. You know, that's the most inconvenient night of the year to have to. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Chacham Tzvi, she can go in the daytime, day seven in the daytime, provided that she doesn't see her husband till the night. Because the whole idea is we're afraid if she goes to the mikveh in the daytime and then she'll cohabit when she comes back from the mikveh with her husband, and then maybe she'll bleed later on more in this day, and then l'mafreya, it turns out that she didn't have a full zayinikim. So therefore, normally, we wait till the night to let her go to the mikveh. But Rabbeinu Tam, according to these poskim within Rabbeinu Tam, if she can go in the day, as long as she's not in a situation where she possibly could have relations with her husband after the mikveh till the night. So, and then for they won't have this problem that maybe she will, she'll go too early. Maybe she, you know, she'll be with the husband and then bleed later. But some posts can hold that like the shach, that it's only to go day eight in the daytime, but seven, day seven, not in the daytime. So different communities have different opinions on whether they'll let a woman go day seven in the daytime. If we're only day eight or even not at all, different communities have different policies for this. So I thought that maybe this would be a mahalach. Obviously, we don't encourage it, and only shasatchak in some communities, not even b'shasatchak, where they permit such a thing to go in the day, But I thought in this situation to prevent her a Chilul Shabbos, if she would go in the day, and then she would go home, and then the husband, he's not so from, he's not going to shul. Usually they go to shul, so they're not at home already. They'll go in the backyard, you know, till like a half an hour after Shkia or so, but early, you know, Tzeis, that's how we did Tzeis, we would do for Motzei Shabbos, and that would solve the this issue. So that would, but again, some mikvahs have a policy that will never let somebody go day seven to the mikvah. So, but this child just came up this morning.
Right, Simon? Yeah. Simon, why couldn't you use the different zmanim to be mako, or that wouldn't work?
Meaning what?
Like, we learned by Rabbeinu Tam that he holds that Shabbos starts even later, right?
Right.
Cool. So why couldn't you use that shita to let her be, make a letter drive? It'd be after Shkia. I mean, it would be a stira internally.
It would be a stira, yeah. So, you know, that would be a tremendous stira because she's, I don't know, you know, because you have to be consistent, you know. So, right, so in other words, to say that, in other words, that's the question. When you're running late for to Shabbos, would you say that you could still drive up to, you know, a bit of time sheet that presumably you get another 58 and a half minutes? I mean, that requires a whole different shiur to give you all the details of that. But we enjoy, and Shach is very against that idea of stira, you know, so that wouldn't be the first option. But if we could do this, this would be probably much better, you know, this type of thing. Okay, so this Shaila, you know, I said it's a simon min hashamayim that just this morning I was still davening when the rabbi called me, and then I picked up after davening, and that was the shaila. So another shaila that's coming been prevalent in this kufa of COVID is about women who go to. First, we had this whole thing about women who didn't want to go to. All during COVID. That was also a very, to try to convince women that there's certain votes that will take them, the first one that they feel, you know, they felt they clean it. It was a challenge, you know, getting, you know, women to go, especially in the height of COVID. That's a separate question. But one question is, women wanted to know, could they shower soon as they get back home, before, you know, because, so this way, Chassid Shalom, they got anything when they were in the mikvah, so they would shower before they would have any contact with their spouse. What's this halacha? So this halacha about showering is the following. Normally, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that if a person goes to the mikvah, you know, there was one of the gezeiros, they want to eat truma, and then they, after they go to the mikvah, they wash themselves with mayim shuvim, rosh of ruma mayim shuvim. So that's matami. Whereas a person goes to the mikvah and washes themselves with mayim shuvim, so that is there. It's you know, it might be talking only for truma, but it's matami. Well, why they make this gezeira? Because people are going to come to say that if I first go to the mikvah and then I wash myself with tap water, say. So one day they're going to say, you know, what do I need the mikvah for? I'll just do the tap water, you know? And they'll come to not go to the mikvah. They'll just do. So therefore we said, if you go to the tap, use the tap water. After the mikvah, it's no good. At least for Truma, said. The three Truma. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchos Nidah, in Hilchos, you know, the halachas of Tefillah, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a woman should not wash herself until she's together with her husband. And so that's where, this shaila came about, that women were not wanting to go to the mikveh is one thing, but then they also had this question of whether they could what? They could go ahead and shower before they have contact with their spouse, because they're afraid maybe something got on their body in mikveh, so let's shower first before we do anything. And that's seemingly against the din and Shulchan Aruch of the Ramah, based on the extension of the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yudalid, not to go to the, not to be bar Rosho Verubu Maim Shuvim before they're together. So that was the Shaila. So there are a lot of fascinating opinions regarding the Shaila. Rav Abadi always likes to point out that the Vilna Gaon's Shita is that it doesn't apply only to like Truma, but it doesn't apply to cohabiting with your wife, because that's not Truma, that's just considered Chulin. And therefore, that halacha that the Bar Rosho Berubu Mayim Shuvim after the mikvah hassles, makes it Tamei, does not apply. So that's the Vilna Gaon sheet. Then there's another sheet that some have, I think maybe Rav Nissen Kerelitz might bring it down, I'm not sure if it was him or someone else, that maybe this only applies if you bar Rosho Berubu Mayim Shuvim in the locale we went to the mikvah. Because if it would apply if a woman would take a shower in the mikvah after they went, then. But when you're doing it at home, that's already a heker that it's not, and that wouldn't apply. But then, they have another interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe. And this tshuva from Rav Moshe was, not necessarily to answer this question, but about this whole shaila in general. He was written to Rabbi Shlomo Rebeck, Rabbi Rebeck of Passaic, New Jersey. And Rabbi Rebeck shared, myself, Rabbi Tuchman, he shared with us the background of this tshuva. Because a lot of times, you see, the thing with the Igros Moshe is it's only tshuvas. You never hear what the shaila was. So normally you figure it out. Based on the tshuva, you figure out what the shaila was. But the shailas are not printed in the sefer, only the tshuvas. Like you have the tshuvas of the Rashba, he tells you what the shaila was, and now what the tshuva was. But Moshe Feinstein doesn't have the tshuvas written in the sefer. So my Rebeck shared with one of my talmid and myself the background of the following tshuva. This was the shaila. Rav tells a story that people in the mountains. So you know the mountains, the way the mountains work in New York, you know, Catskills and this, is the husbands come up for Shabbos, right? The wives are there the whole week, and the husbands come for Shabbos, and then they go back, right? So a lot of women were waiting for their husbands they weren't going to the mikveh the whole week. And they were only going on Motzai Shabbos. They're only going Motzai Shabbos. So the men, when they were coming to bring their wives to the mikveh, waiting for them, they had to wait hours and hours and hours because everyone in the colonies were all waiting to go Motzai Shabbos. So it was flooded with people. Now, why were the women waiting? So Rabbi Rebeck pointed out the reason they were waiting to Motzai Shabbos. Why do they have to wait for Motzai Shabbos? Is because they wanted to go swimming during the week. So say they had to be supposed to go to mikveh Tuesday night. And then they want to swim. Wednesday, Thursday, they want to swim. But the halacha is, that we said, that you're not supposed to immerse yourself in tap water after you went to the mikveh until you with your husband. So therefore, they figured if they would go to the mikveh, they can't go swimming for the rest of the week. So therefore, what they would do is they would just wait till Motzai Shabbos to go to the mikveh. And if everyone has the same mindset that we're waiting for Motzai Shabbos, you can imagine how long the line was and how long the wait was. So Rabbi Ribik said, we can't, this is ridiculous. So they said, but what about this halacha? So Rabbi Ribik said, who do you want? I'll get you, who do you want a tshuva from? So he said, from Rabbi Moshe. He said, okay, we'll ask Rabbi Moshe and we'll see what he says. So Rabbi Moshe said like this, he thinks this whole halacha that you have to wait after you go to the mikveh, not to go into Mayim Shu'uvim until you're together with your spouse, only is that, you know, that day or the day after, whatever. In other words, it's a gezeira. They didn't go so far. They didn't say, well, if your spouse is away, so therefore, and you went to the mikveh, so now you wait for 2 weeks, so now you're gonna, you can't go take a bath in 2 weeks. No, it's only for a day or so, or the day or the next day, whatever it is, but that's it. In other words, Chazal weren't machmir. This whole chumrah, you know, was a limit. So therefore, if a person goes to the mikveh on Tuesday, so okay, the next day they won't shower, they won't bathe, and then they'll do it. Then they could do it. And therefore, but not like these women who were waiting the whole week and saying, well, we're not going to go to the mikveh on Monday night because then we're going to be usher, you know, till the husband comes. So he says that much they don't have to do. So therefore, then that stopped the big line. So, but in regard to the question of the women who want to shower before they, you know, because of COVID, they want, after they come back from the mikveh, they want to shower before they come in contact with anybody. So you do have the original kulos, in other words, of the Vilna Gaon, then maybe this whole thing is just a chumrah, and therefore, when it comes to, it's just a chumrah, and therefore it shouldn't apply to your husband, even though the Ramah is machmir. But it's a chumrah, so in these situations where people feel that it could give the disease to other people, so then perhaps not, and then you have the other kulah, that the people who are asking to shower after the mikveh are not asking to shower at the mikveh, right? No one's showering at the mikveh. You lose it when, you know, people would shower in the mikveh before they go to the mikveh, but after the mikveh is not when people are showering. They go home and shower if they want to shower. And some say as long as the couple has some physical contact, not necessarily full intimacy, that would be sufficient to show that we realize that the mikveh is matir us, and not the mikveh is matir us, and not the mayim shuvim afterwards. Because if they think that the mayim shuvim is like Rav Shetter pointed out, is being matir them, then one day they'll say, who needs the mikveh? Just do the mayim shuvim. And then they'll miss out on the whole thing. So memela, that was the... So this is another thing that... and the other question is that people also want to opt to go to natural body of water. You know, we know that a person could go to an ocean, that an ocean is considered a mayim, and therefore an ocean is something that an ocean is a proper mayim. The only thing is, we have a halacha that is a very important halacha, that no woman could ever go to the mikveh alone. No, why is that? Because we know is that if a woman goes to the mikveh, she has to be totally immersed. And even if one strand of hair is not below the water, the whole tefillah is no good. It's not like chatzitza, where if it's miyut hamakpid, is only a drabban. The din of chatzitza is, you know, you have to, rubo she'ein hamakpid, has to be rovi your body, or even a miyut, but your makpid, then that's no good, right? But when it comes to the actual tefillah, the whole body has to be immersed. Whereas if you have a chatzitza, something on your hand, that we can render as not a chatzitza, even though it's on a very small part of the body. So it could perhaps only be a drabon. It's a miyadamakri. But that's only drabon. But when it comes to the bias mayim, that you have to be totally immersed, even a little strand of hair that didn't get below is considered a puzzle. It's considered puzzle midoraisa. It's mamish, you did nothing. You know, like usually in halacha, okay, you know, chatzitzas, you know, it's not all or nothing. By mikvah, by the immersion of how much has to be below the water level, it's all or nothing. It's mamish like you didn't go at all. It's mamish karis. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have somebody omed al gabov. The Shulchan Aruch also speaks about a certain loose net that they used to have, but I don't think it's practical b'zman hazeh that the women are going to put on the loose net and it's going to stop the hair, because they're not going to be able to do that in the proper way. So the bottom line is the only option is to has to be a mikvah lady. So if you go into the ocean, you have to have the mikvah lady there. The Noda B'Yehuda has a kula, where he says that the husband can serve as the mikvah lady in a question of difficult situation. And therefore, if a woman just saying, I'm going to go to the ocean on my own, and that should count as the mikvah, which it is a good mikvah, is a good mayan, but you still have to make sure. And that's, Rabbi Kiva Eger has a very chomerdikum tshuva about some people who don't want to do that. You know, there are situations in the recent past where there have been women who telling the mikvah that we'll go, but we don't want anyone to do. It had to do with COVID and had to do maybe before COVID, that they didn't want it. So then the pashtus is they shouldn't let them. They have to be strict on this matter. I'm not a person who's, you know, tries to be strict on people, but lemaisa, this is a very, very important halacha, and it creates a whole pirtza. If a mikvah will be lenient to tell a woman, okay, you can go on your own, we don't care, is a very improper thing. So the mikvos, you know, even though in certain modern times and modern places, women want to have the autonomy to go alone and things like that, this is one area that requires a strict approach. And again, if need be, we could have the husband, you know, obviously, when it's a time where the mikvah is open for the communities, obviously the husband is not going to be anywhere near there. But in situations where they could have a situation where it's not, so then it could be room to...
Rabbi, could a non-Jewish woman fulfill that as a second person, like someone's disabled, they have a caregiver that goes with them to the mikvah?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. But the pashtus is that the pashtus is not. The pashtus is because they don't have any nemanis. They don't have any nemanis. Even though they could be fine erlicha people. You know, erlicha non-Jew, you know, an honest person. But nemanis is not only a din in honesty. It has halachic guidelines. And if you're not... you know, as Rav Shecht always likes to quote the Mishnah in Bukharas, "Kol chashan al davar doldanu v'lo meida." That if you're chashan on something, like if you're the nicest person in the world, most honest person in the world, and you don't keep kashrus, so I can't eat in your house. I can't eat in that person's house, even because he doesn't have namanis. Doesn't have namanis, even though. He's not going to, you know. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Her parents was a communist, and they weren't. And the tshuva was about, since you know your parents so well, you can say kimli mikavei, and they will never trick you. So he was making in such a situation, but that's because that was a son and a parent, a daughter and a parent. But when it's not namonis, not a parent. I don't know you from Adam. So you're an honest person, but then it's much harder. No nemonis. It's interesting, Rav Nata Greenblatt once told me, you know, he's a Rav many years in Memphis, Tennessee. So he says in Memphis, he's seen in his lifetime that he knows people who are not Shomer Shabbos, but they keep kashrus. They keep kashrus, 100% they keep kashrus. So there is two different areas of halacha. See, your case is a goy, so a goy doesn't keep taras and mishpacha, so it's the same, you know, area in halacha. But if it's two different areas, then there's one. So he thought of not the, that if a person keeps kashrus, even though they're not Shomer Shabbos, keeps kashrus, and he thought keep kashrus means even out of the house. In other words, not just they just have a kosher home, but they keep kashrus even out of the house. There could be room to be makel to eat in there. You know, this is a shayla for out of town shayla. You know, hopefully in town. And L.A. we don't consider that out of town. You don't consider that an out of, you know, that's like in town. But we're talking about out of town, like Memphis, like really out of town. Like the shayla I got this morning from the woman who's not from, and wants to go to the mikvah, that wasn't coming from New York and it wasn't coming from L.A. It was an out of town, you know, there's out of town and there's out of town. You know, there's different types of out of town.
That is that even Moshe Aaron can't be Adam when you need Shnei Adam, you can't have two brothers, and who's more Neman than Moshe Aaron? It's just that's the halacha.
Right. So, just this week I got a shayla from somebody. We have in Washington Heights, we have a lot of roommate shaylas. You know, people have a lot of apartments. So every once in a while, somebody says they have to leave now. They can't stay in the apartment. The roommates get upset because now they're going to have to pay more rent because you're going to have to divvy the... So the shayla was, they found a roommate who could replace this roommate. But this person is not Shomer Shabbos. Okay, they're not Shomer Shabbos. That's their business. They're not Shomer Shabbos. But kashrus they keep, and even supposedly kashrus outside. So then basically it's not the best situation, but then I said you could, you know, she could be the third roommate. This way they don't have to go to a din Torah and things like that, and we could solve it that way. But that's this week. I like to tell you the most recent shaylas that come up. So these were the most recent I told you was this shayla about the woman going tonight to the mikvah by car and how to avoid that. Etc. Okay. And we'll say, okay, we'll say some mili dagada. I have to tell you that during the shiur today, at least two people were calling me, and I know for sure they were both calling me to tell me about the patira of Rav Kelman. One was a nephew, and one, your friend, Jake Frankel, he did an internship in West Hempstead the other year. And he was the person who made sure to, I told him, he made sure to get close with Kelman. Because Kelman, one of the biggest hanas I had was when I was at a wedding with Rav Kelman, we would sit together and discuss halachic topics. I'll tell you the last thing, and also in the gada that we discussed, was, this also has to do with Kuruvu. There's a Talmud, unfortunately, it was found out that he's not every once in a while, unfortunately, this happens. They're happily married, and then they find out that they can't father a child. Happily married, and they can't father a child. In fact, just this morning, I was dealing with a shayla of a single girl who unfortunately can't, find the shidduch. Can't find the shidduch. She's trying, she can't find the shidduch. But she wants to be a mother. So the question is, could she get sperm from the sperm bank? She'll be a single parent. So, and if she could, what kind of sperm should she get? But that's a separate topic for a separate share. But the thing I was talking about, Rabbi Kelmer, so So this man was, they were happily married, and he finds out he can't father a child. He can't father a child. So they follow the cool of Reb Moshe, and they got a sperm. A non-Jewish sperm. They got it. They had a child. So under these circumstances, that's great. So what was the question? So this is the question. The question was that, and we weren't thinking about this, but the question was what? The real husband is a lady. And they knew they were going to have a boy. And the wife was, while she was pregnant, she was petrified. Why is she petrified? Because then when he's going to get born, he's not going to be a lady. Because her husband is not going to be the father. And what's going to happen? She's thinking now so far in advance, 13 years in advance, she's thinking he's going to be called up to the Torah for his bar mitzvah. He's not going to be a Levi. And he's not going to be able to get the Levi aliyah. Or, you know, they can't call him Levi if we get the bar mitzvah or something with aliyah. And then everyone's going to ask, the father, her husband's a Levi. So why isn't the kid a Levi? And she was petrified. About it. So I discussed it with different rabbanim. I mean, obviously, it's going to be fully relevant till for another, close to 13 years from now. So different rabbanim had different approaches. So Rabbi Kalim was one of the rabbanim that I discussed it with, at a wedding. It was, and the question is, are you allowed l'man ha-kovah ha-brios to give this boy the Levi aliyah, even though he's not a Levi, to that there shouldn't be an embarrassment to the family. And that was one of the last conversations we ever had. With some rabbanim were very thought for sure not. The Kalman was more open to think that maybe for Kovar Habrios. And he said, you see how much the mother, the emotions of the mother, even though it's not going to be relevant for another, many years. But a Jewish mother, that's what he said, Jewish mother, you see, right now she's so nervous about that impending. That was one of the last conversations we have. Then we had other conversations, but that was one of the last conversations we had. And this week's parsha is Moshe Rabbeinu, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was by the. And the idea of being by the water. And, the water has kedusha. You said mikvah is tara. And, the pasuk says it's the first, the daf Torah for Shavuos morning. So usually the people who stay up Shavuos morning, by the time you get to daf Torah, they're already, they're already dozing off, I remember when I was in Kerbiavda, and I was in Eretz Yisrael, it's only one day yantif. So Rus, you have to do Rus also that day. I was like half asleep in the middle of, I didn't make it through Rus. Now my minhag is to go to sleep, to stay. I give the first shiur of the night and I go to sleep and I daven in the normal minhag. Then I could daven, normal. But the haftorah there is Yecheskel was by Nahar Kvar. That's the first haftorah in Yecheskel. The question is, there's no nevuah b'chutzlarts. There's no devoir chutzlarts. So how does he get nevoah in chutzlarts? So the Mechiltas, the Chazal tell us that there's no nevoah chutzlarts, but if you buy the water, then there's kedusha even chutzlarts, because that's tar, mayim is matayim. Even though there's a question about the horos, what the halakhic status is, but the mayim is matayim. It's a mokum of tara. So then, even though there's no nevuah, so Moshe Rabbein, you see, he's put in the nar at a young age. He's put in because you need kedusha, and even if and there's not kedusha, Eretz Yisrael doesn't. It's not in chutz la'aretz, but by the water, there's kedusha even in chutz la'aretz. So, and that's some say that's the idea of different shatim of going to tashlich by the nar. Rosh Hashanah, because that's where the Kedusha is. And it's brought down from one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, that the Arizal grew up, he was at an island, like Sierra brought down by the water, because that gives Kedusha, that gives Tara. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we see right away, he's in the water, he's in the Yor, and he's... And that's the mikvos. Mikvos is the idea of tara, is the idea of, as Sefer Chinuch says, and Shai Lamelt explains, that you're going in the water, it's like you're coming anew. You're like recreating. You're coming anew. And that's the tara, that's the recreation of a person. And that's tshuva, that's pizza. So all these ideas of mikvos is that ability of tara. And as we said before, at mikvah, it's all or nothing. Again, if you have a band-aid on your finger, so it's a question, can you go to the mikvah, can't you go, okay, well, how you know, if you have a bandage, what kind of bandage, it's a discussion. There, it's only a question of a derabban. But the fact that you have to be totally immersed, That's a deraisa. So that's why we're so makbid to have always somebody omer al gabbis. Like Rav Abadi says, the ikar reason why you need a mikvah lady is not to check the fingernails and that, but the ikar reason, I mean, they do that also, but the ikar reason of the mikvah lady is to make sure that you're totally immersed, that there's no strand, there's nothing that didn't go on there. Then it's not so simple that, you know, if you don't have somebody watching, you know, it's not so simple that, and even just a little bit of a hair, a part of a hair, makes the whole thing invalid.